Let's take our Bibles tonight and please turn to the book of Proverbs, and you're going to need to keep your Bibles handy, and so that way we can go through several other passages of Scripture. For those that are visiting, we're delighted to see you. I'd like to ask also the church chorale if you'll go to my office in the other building immediately tonight. I'd appreciate it. I'll see you over there. And then as you pick your kids up, which is said early, be certain to be grateful. The nursery, the front lobby area, is still closed off. We go, there's a detour, you see the signs, you follow it. I would imagine the signs would be down for Sunday, so you'll perhaps be able to go in the old way. It's all being refurbished. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It will not be finished in its entirety, but if it's all back to order within a certain degree, we'll have it all opened up. And you're going to see many projects like that all summer long as we continue to work on the vision around here. And it's very, very exciting. I'm glad you're in God's house tonight. And I've been personally, I guess I'm in the Bible study where we're at these weeks, because I want to, the best I know how, live in such a way that I can move God's heart. I think of the responsibility that's on my life to help you with your life. I'm your shepherd, and I'm supposed to feed you, and I'm supposed to guide you, and I'm supposed to protect you. That's what God's Word tells me to do, Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. And I want to make sure that there's good pasture, but I would like God to be able to see in my life a man that walks with him so closely that he could bless me so that you could have the overflow of blessing. I believe there's no church in the world that deserves more than this church. You people have been so incredible. Your prayer support, your giving support, I mentioned something normally just one time from the pulpit, and you respond, whether it's the President's Club or whether it's come to prayer meeting, if you can, if it works out, or let's go soul winning on Saturday. We're jam-packing that room out, every chair taken for months now, and people standing in the back. The Sunday school teachers, here's the new time for teachers meeting. Last year we changed it, and everybody's fine with it, no complaint. And God's been so good to us. And I believe this church, I believe these sweet teenagers, I believe they deserve the blessing of God on their lives. And so we've been speaking on this subject, and if you're taking notes, Wednesday night, sort of a Bible study time, and it doesn't bother me if you want to jot a note, how to move the heart of God. I would hope that every man, every husband, every father would say, I want to move God's heart. I'd hope every single adult said, I want to move God's heart. And in the Bible, it's very obvious there are times and ways to move the heart of God. And we saw that God responds to tears. We sang tears are a language God understands. Jesus saw the tears of Mary and Martha. He saw the tears of a widow woman. He saw that she was bearing her only son. As he sees tears, he is always moved. In fact, when Jesus, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept when he saw the tears of others, and consequently, he acted and raised Lazarus from the dead. It's very obvious that tears move the heart. You know, when our kids were in our home and they were young, if they would weep over anything, I don't really remember Tim weeping that much, but the girls, but if they had a problem or something happened, I always wanted to try to help them if I could. You know, sometimes I can't remember any, but I know once in a while there had to be any particular event, but there had to be conflicts with this girl in the school or this person, or she's no longer my best friend and we're in third grade and I thought she was, or whatever. You know how, and that's big and traumatic to a child or whatever it may have been. Well, as a dad, I want to try to do anything possible. And tears move the heart of God. Jeremiah spoke so directly to the Lord. And in prayer, he says, I want you people, call upon me, and I'll show thee great and mighty things. But he's known as the weeping prophet. And he wept for the people of God. And then we saw that fasting moves the heart of God. Those disciples could not perform the miracle. And Jesus said in Mark 8:29, but this kind cometh about by prayer and fasting and saying no. The Jewish fast is from sun up to sundown. You might have a breakfast fast. And it doesn't mean you just do without food, but you do not eat, and instead you spend that time you would have been eating in nourishing your body, you spend that time in prayer. Or you might have breakfast and lunch, or you may have breakfast and lunch and dinner, or the Jewish fast, sun up to sundown, or a 24-hour fast. Some have gone a lot longer than that in fasting. And I believe that fasting works. I've seen it work in my own life, prayer and fasting. And then we saw number three, that God says righteousness. Number one, God is moved by what? By tears. Secondly, he's moved by fasting. Three, by righteousness. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord are upon, that's 2 Peter, excuse me. 2 Peter, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And in 2 Chronicles, he says, he is willing to show himself strong on behalf of those that whose heart is perfect. And so in my life, I would ask more than ever. I said this Sunday, I would ask that you would pray that your pastor would be a righteous man, just a righteous man. I was driving down the street on last week one day, and just overwhelmed me. I'm praying for this firehouse across the way, and I'm praying for this corner building, so many other things. But I said, Lord, I'm just going to beg you, may I live, please, God, in such a way that I would live righteous before you. I would live right. And you know how Jack Treiber is? Just like you, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. This old Adamic flesh is so selfish and self-willed and prideful. And all you can go on and on. Please don't think you've arrived. And God wants me to live a righteous life. I was driving down the street yesterday praying for those properties, and I said, now, Lord, I said, I think there are men in our church that I can't touch the hem of their garment, but Lord, I would like to be known by you as the most righteous man in Santa Clara, in the city of Santa Clara. God, I want to be a righteous man, because there are things that this ministry needs and this world needs that God wants to give it, but God cannot bless this place if I'm not righteous. And you must be righteous. And so we saw how to move the heart of God. Number one, what? Tears. Secondly, what? Fasting. Thirdly, what? Righteousness, godliness. And then we saw that it moves. I can move the heart of God through faith. Faith, because Hebrews 11:6, God says he rewards those that walk by faith. Faith is believing God can do anything. I believe that God can. I do. I just believe God can. And I was reading just a couple weeks ago again what I've said so often, people with great faith, and I think I have great faith. I believe I have great faith. But people with great faith can at times have great fear. And I face that as well at times. And so men, when you have great faith, or dear ladies, you have great faith and a woman of faith, and then you come into some doubt, you're not a bad Christian. You're just a human being. But let's get back on the faith side. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How? By faith. God wants to bless Golden State Baptist College, North Valley Baptist School, Revival Radio, North Valley Publications, the bus ministry, the Sunday school ministry, the live streaming, and the radio, all of it. God wants to bless it, but it has to be done by faith. We had a preacher here years ago said, if you can explain it, God probably did not do it. And it stuck with me all these years. If you could explain it, explain to me how we're going to get that corner property, 15,000 square feet. Just explain it. How you've got it all figured out. I learned long ago, well, if we get X amount of people to give this and X amount of people, guess what? That doesn't work. God has to do it. And God's people have always risen to the challenge to put housing over there across the street. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. There it sits. The last real piece of property in Santa Clara. And it's on our front doorstep. And it's needed by this place for His glory. I pray that you'll never pass there again without turning your attention to that empty field. There used to be a firehouse there that they tore it down, and it's just sitting there. And the city is now engaging in doing things with it. I tell you what they need to do. It's called North Valley Baptist Church. And it's been one of those projects for years where they say no, no, no. Just like where we stand in this 3,000 seat auditorium where the owners of this property said no, no, no. But God did it. And I want you to know that God did it by faith. And so we review tears, fasting, righteousness, faith. And then tonight, what we'll see is in chapter number 28, chapter 28 of Proverbs. In chapter 28, and I want you to read with me. I want you to read with me. In chapter 28, I missed by telling you this one, and we'll get to it right now. Chapter 28, verse number 9. Are you ready? 28:9. And what moves the heart of God is obedience to the Bible. Obedience to the Bible. Notice what the Bible says. Let's read verse 9. Ready? Begin. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. What is prayer all about? It's moving the heart of God. And God says, when I have written something in this book and you turn your ear away from it. Now, you and I, in fact, I don't mind if you help me right now for a few moments. But let's think, what does God clearly tell us to do? Well, He tells us to go to church. That's in the Bible. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. We are supposed to go to church. And exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Summer is coming. And I hope that Ms. Treber and I get some time away to do something. But I tell you something, I know I'm going to go to church. Because I need the blessings of God. I need to move the heart of God. But I'm not going to move the heart of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, if I'm on a boat. If I'm at the beach. You say, good night, you're sort of in this thing, aren't you? Christ too is our life. Colossians 3:4. What does God say? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, everybody, lay by him in stores, God has prospered them. This is the greatest giving church I know. But you know we have more people that don't tithe than those that do. We have the hit and missers. I tell you what, I'd be afraid to touch God's money. Because all His, I would. It'd be like me going wherever they have all the money in the church. I don't know what the whole system is there. I know the figures and the numbers and the thing, but I don't know how they keep it, where it all goes and all that. But what would you think if I went where they keep the money? Just started taking it without anyone's approval. Without the church's approval. You know, I've been here 42 years. We have a business office here. I've never gone to the business office to cash a check. I'm not going to. The bank's too close. I'm not getting messed up with the money. I don't go and say, hey, I have a $10 bill. I need two fives. Can the business office give me two fives? I'll go to the bank before I go to the business office. I'm not touching the church money, even though it might be okay and it might be all right and there are people witnessing it. I'm not going to, hey, I wonder if you can do it. No, I'm not going to go there. I don't have meetings in the business office. They come to my office. I'm not going around wherever they keep the money. I'm not going around it. But how can someone live with yourself and God gives you income and we don't tithe
And on this Wednesday night, I'm speaking to the crowd that supports the church. What does God say about soul winning? But ye shall be witnesses of me. I pray all the time, Lord, I've missed this opportunity, I've missed this one. I need to be a better soul winner. I need to be a better prayer warrior. I need to be better here. But God's word is very clear. What about this business of not being kind to one another? God says, and be ye kind one to another. What about this business when a brother is taken in a fault? A brother, another Christian. And if a brother be overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and fear, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yeah, I tell you what, I want that guy right there, that lady right there. I want to hang around them. Yeah, but how long are you going to make them suffer? They got it right with God. They got it right with the church. I watch people that are judgmental on others, and I know every time, according to the Bible, they're not spiritual. Someone can go online. I wish sometimes I knew how to do all that online stuff. I'd probably see a lot of things I would just horrify me. But when I see enough or hear enough, when one Christian feels like they can attack another Christian, I know that person's not spiritual. Because God says, he that is spiritual, restore. God's word is filled with commandments. And they're not suggestions, they're commandments. Do this. Here the Bible says that, verse number 9, and we'll get to the scripture, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination. What's abomination? This is an abomination. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. It stinks to God. God says, I told you to do something. You don't do it. It stinks to me. It stinks. Notice what he says in verse number 7. He whoso keepeth the law is wise. Whoso keepeth the law is wise. So when we begin to, pardon me, reject the word of God, God says, I can't bless you. Turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. All the double books are together in the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Samuel is speaking, and he talked about the fact in verse 9 that they forgot the Lord. They cried, verse 10, to the Lord. They acknowledged, we have sinned. Verse 14 and 15. I wonder if you can read this, and I'm talking tonight how to move the heart of God. It's obedient to the word of God, obeying the word of God. Verse 14 and 15. Shall we read it? Ready? Begin. If ye will fear the Lord, That proves what we're talking about tonight. God said, if you rebel and don't do what I've commanded you, my commandment, the commandment for the Lord, my hand is going to be against you. Now, it's not my job to look at the other pastor and the other church and the other person. It is my job as a shepherd of this flock to keep my life in such a way that when God's word tells me something, not my feelings, not my emotions, but when God's word tells me do this, I need to do it. I need to obey the word of God. I think it was Brother Giovanelli in college the other day or a week or so ago. He mentioned the fact the will of God, and perhaps knowing the will of God is the most popular messages in Bible colleges in America. Preachers come by, I want to give you a plan about the will of God. And one will say seven things, one will say three things, one will say two things, one will say six things, whatever. And it seems like they're all similar, but they're all different. And they're all right. But you said it the other day, and I've heard it said years ago so many times, that if you're not fulfilling the will that you know, why ask for more will of God? Why do you want to compound your life and get more of the will of God when we will not obey the will that God has already written? Obey the word of God. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So don't hang around fools. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. God says he'll bless you for not walking with the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. If your friend is a scorner, or one that is in sin, or living in sin, or acting out sin, or desires of sin, friend, you have no business hanging around, walking, standing, sitting with that person. You are violating, I would be violating the word of God. We know that's the word of God. Go to chapter 13 of this text. Chapter 13. And here is Saul, this head and shoulders man that was a great looking king and a good king and a new king. And Samuel said, I want you to have this set time. And at the set time, Samuel said, I'll be there. But he didn't come on the time that he thought was the right time. And so Saul intruded the office that was not his. He had no business doing what he was going to do. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring a burnt offering to me. Uh-oh. He has no business. He's the king. He's not a priest. He has no business asking for a burnt offering. He has no right to offer a burnt offering. And peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offerings. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and salute him. Like, nothing's wrong, man. Everything's okay. I waited. Yeah, but Samuel said, I'm coming on that day. And he came on that day. It just wasn't on Saul's timetable. He deliberately disregarded the word of God. The word of God came from the man of God. In this case, we didn't have the complete revelation of word of God. Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, what's the next four words, church? Read it together. Thou hast done this. Notice it. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord. When God tells us a command, and we have the 66 books. And when God commands us to do something and we disobey it, do not expect the blessings of God. Notice what he says in verse number 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for him a man after his own heart. He said he's not interested in what you're doing. Chapter 15. 15 verse 1, Samuel said to Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. That would be equivalent to what we're saying in the Bible tonight. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I remember that Amalek did to Israel, and how he laid wait in Egypt, and he came up from Egypt. God says, go smite Amalek. And utterly, what's the next two words? Destroy how much? Spare them not. slay man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And the Bible says, verse 7, Saul smote the Amalekites. Verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed the people with the edge of the sword. But the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs. I think you'd call that rebellion to the word of God. God said what to do. And when Samuel came, he said, Saul said in verse 13, I performed the commandment of the Lord, and in my Bible have written, no, you did not obey the Bible. You did not obey the voice of God. And Samuel said, verse 14, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears? And Saul said, they, it's amazing, he's the leader, but he says, they have brought them from the Amalekites. And Samuel said, verse 17, when thou was little in thy sight. And then he said, verse 18, go utterly. I told you, you're supposed to go. This is from the voice of the Lord. Verse 19, therefore thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord. Verse 20, he said, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. No. Why do we try to convince ourselves, I obey God, when we disobey God? And he says in verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. He said, I'm sacrificed. I'm not interested in your sacrifice. I'm interested in your obedience. Isn't it amazing? I've been overwhelmed recently with the thought, first thing for a child, children, obey your parents. If we don't get our children to obey, they will utterly destroy their lives, because obedience is the key in the life of a child. And if they will not obey an earthly father they can see, they'll never obey a heavenly father they cannot see. God says, for rebellion, verse 23, is a sin of witchcraft. God is not going to say, well, I think I'll answer that prayer. He's disobedient to my Bible, and it's consequently like witchcraft. And he said, no, stubbornness is iniquity. Because that, here it is, verse 23, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath rejected thee. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Let me get it right. And Samuel said to Saul, verse 26, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do. As we read the word of God, find everything that God tells us to do. Everything he tells us to do, and then let's just do it. The Bible says I'm to love my neighbor as myself. I'm to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, and mind. The second is like unto the first. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I am to be a person that is honest in all business dealings. The Bible makes it very clear for the pastor in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, he has to have a good report on the out. I was at a business here about a couple years ago, and they said, you know, pastor, it's one of your members was in here and been doing business with us, but they never pay their bill. They never pay the bill. They owe us money. That family had moved away. I said, well, how much they owe you? And they told me how much they owed them. I said, and I think this is true in their case. I said, I really believe it was an oversight. Those are good people. They really are. I don't think they tried to stiff arm you. I said, they moved away. I really believe they're honest people. And I think if they knew they owed you money, and it was a little bit, you know, more than a dollar or two. And I said, I know what they would want me to do. And I know what my church would want me to do. And I paid the bill. Not with the church money. Why? I'm supposed to have, and I think this church has to have, a reputation that in this city and in this area, these are honest people. And I really believe we have that reputation. And once in a while, we might stumble. I know. In other words, God's word is showing us here, every command in the Bible, I'm to obey it. What's the first sin in the Bible? Disobedience to God's word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Adam and Eve disobeyed what God told them. Here, this is it. This is it. Here's what you're supposed to do. And the devil came to tempt them. And they began to bargain with the devil because they thought they could disobey God's word. We cannot disobey the word of God and move the heart of God. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 119, please. As you turn there in closing, don't get your shoes on yet because it's not that much closing, but we're getting close. In our Sunday school class on Sunday, we saw once again for our Bible reading schedule this week that God gives three prohibitions, actually four, but three prohibitions for a king. A king cannot have multiple wives. A king cannot have a lot of horses, many horses. And you can't get them out of Egypt. That's part two of that. And a king can't have a lot of money, can't have a lot of silver and gold. But it's an amazing thing when you look at Deuteronomy 17 and then 1 Kings 10. Solomon had a lot of wives, but a king's not supposed to. I don't know, maybe it's not a lot. He had 700 and 300 porcupines. One day we were driving down Scott. This had to be 35, 6 years ago, I guess. And Tiffany was in the car with me, and we were driving down Scott toward El Camino. And she said, Oh, Dad. She was a little girl. Don't look up there. There's a lady over there in a zucchini. Well, she didn't have the word right, but I'm glad she saw that you ought not to put your eyes on things that's wrong. And so Solomon had 700 wives. Now, fellas, God bless you. He said, well, man, I can handle three or four. You're not doing a very good job with one. This guy, 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. Sounds like a lot of nylons, dresses. My goodness. And then he's not supposed to have horses, but he had tens of thousands of horses, and he brought them out of Egypt. Just exactly what God told him he could not do. And then he said that he had so much wealth, like no other king, so I guess he had a lot. It was like stones on the sidewalks, on the roadways of the silver and gold. Now, he wrote us a great book, Proverbs. It's for our daily living. It's one of the best books for daily living. He wrote it to his son, Rehoboam, but because he never practiced what he preached, his son became one of the worst kings ever. He said, I see nothing but hypocrisy in my dad. When God's word tells us to do something, we should do it. Look at Psalm 119. Let's read verse 2 together. And really what it's just saying, God will bless us for obeying his word. Ready? Verse 2, begin. Bless. Begin.
With my whole heart, I sought thee, but let me not wander from thy
commandments. And then verse 11. Let's ready? Begin. Thy word have I hid. Why do we want the word of God? So we won't sin. Why? So we'll get the blessings of God, that we might honor his name. Look what he says in verse number 33. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Teach me, O Lord. All the way to the end. I'm just going to obey this book. Obey this book. That's why we want to pray for one another, that we get to the end of our journey obeying God's word. Last message of the college chapel this morning was Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 8. Verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Weddings we think are the best. That's okay. It's the end when your marriage comes to an end after years of being married and faithful. The end is much better than the wedding. Having those little babies in the home, firstborn, secondborn, whatever it is, oh, how exciting. But the real blessing is when you see your kids living for God. The end of a thing. And we put so much attention on the immediate, where Paul says, I press toward the mark. We've got to look down the road here. Notice what he says in verse 67. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Before I was afflicted. You see, when we don't obey the Bible, we go astray. It's amazing how we can convince ourselves this is not wrong. It's amazing how Saul convinced himself it is not wrong for me to do this offering and keep these best things because I'm going to offer them back to God. Yes, it is wrong because you disobeyed God. Notice what he says in verse 130. Let's go to Psalm 119 and 130. Let's read it together. Are you there? Verse number 130. Ready? Begin. And so, how to move the heart of God? Obey the word of God. It's that simple. Just read this, and when God says something, I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, then bless the Lord. It's not drama. It's not mood swings, male and female. It's not up, down, on fire, backslidden. No, I will bless the Lord at all times. Our theme this year is faithful. It's required that as people of God, we're to be faithful. And faithful unto death, Revelation 2 says. All the way to the finish line. You look at any choir in America, the silver hair, the gray hair, it's about gone. Because our choirs are filled with young people. And if they don't fill it with young people, then the choir, another church I know, said we had to disband our choir because nobody wanted to sing anymore. Good-sized church. The sad thing is, there has to be people that God has blessed with a voice that could make a joyful noise unto the Lord and magnify His name in a choir loft, but they said, we don't want to be part of this. God wants us to obey His word. And so tomorrow morning or tomorrow through the day or tonight or whenever you're in the Word of God reading, and when God tells us to do something, then let's do it. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit. Children, obey. Just do what God says. It's not that hard. But our flesh makes it hard. Our friends make it difficult. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Father, we want to move your heart.